When I first joined a devotee and Guru Das, mentioned a sort of prayer to my new Lord. You are so kind that as your holy name, you are my constant companion. So our journey with Dhapa really means our journey with the Lord as the holy name. And the first time I came in touch with Dhapa was in Haight-Ashbury. I had come to spend the summer there, summer of 1968. And there was a tall fellow with a clean-shaved head walking down the street. I was sort of intrigued by him, but I guess I was on my way somewhere and I didn't approach him. Then, in 1969, Srila Prabhupada and the devotees came to the university where I was a student, and in the program there was kirtan in the auditorium, and many of the students actually were jumping on the stage and the dancing. And I actually felt like it, but I was pretty sure that my friends who were with me wouldn't have approved. And as it is, they didn't even want to come to the program, and they sort of went along with it because I insisted. And then the next night, I went to the temple. And if there was a nice mantra sign, the old mantra sign usually has letters in a sort of like Indian script. And so I was chanting, looking at the mantra sign, and the letters were sort of dissolving, unforming, then forming themselves again and unforming, and considering what my conception of spiritual life was. I thought that was really spiritual. I thought this is really powerful. Although later I overheard one devotee comment that another devotee had told Srila Prabhupada that when he chanted, he saw different colors. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Don't worry, keep chanting and the colors will go away." I thought maybe my conception of the spiritual experience wasn't as desirable as I thought. And then, you know, eventually devotees taught me how to chant. I would chant in the old Boston temple. And we really hadn't even begun to go out on Sankirtan then, so we had a lot of time. And so I would chant in the temple, look at the pictures and chant. And then after about 2.5 months, Satsarupa decided they needed another pujari, and that maybe I should ask Srila Prabhupada for initiation. So I wrote Srila Prabhupada, and in those days we didn't get imported tulsi leaves from India. We'd have to go to a shop, usually a head shop, and buy the beads. and the stream. And one devotee told me that when you're stringing your beads, if you chant one mantra on each bead as you string it, by the end of 108 beads, you'll be in ecstasy. So I tried it, and by the end I was in pretty ecstatic mood. So then I wrote the letter, sent the beads. And one day we were on Harinam, and yes, at Harvard Square, and I felt, some spiritual presence descend on me, and I had a very clear perception that I'm not the body, I'm different from the body, distinct from the body, and I felt some sort of release of emotion, and to cry, and later I mentioned to some of the devotees what had happened, and the devotee said, maybe Srila Prabhupada was chanting on your beads then. Maybe he was initiating that. And a couple of days later, I got my initiation letter. It's possible that at that moment, I was chanting on my beads and initiating me. So I would always chant in the temple, to chant my rounds in the temple. And then, after about a year and a half, I was asked to go to India. I was given a chance to go to India with the first group of devotees. And I had a policy that I would always chant at least 12 rounds before I did anything else, because I really couldn't function if I didn't. Later I heard Mahatma Prabhu say that Srila Prabhupada had said that if you don't finish your rounds by 10 in the morning, you'll be in anxiety for the rest of the day. And I would always chant at least 12, and I'd figure I'd finish the other four. But Tamal Krishna Goswami was the GBC, and my main service was raising funds, and he wanted me to make appointments early in the morning, and he didn't approve of me chanting in front of the deities until I took my 12 rounds. So one day he really very severely chided me. He said, you just pretend that you like to chant in front of the deities. You just want to avoid work. You just want to avoid service. So, well, I don't know what to say about his remark. Maybe there was some truth to it. But the thing is, I couldn't function. That was the fact. I couldn't function if I didn't do my 12 rounds. And somehow I was very successful at collecting anyway. So it sort of worked out. But then, from Calcutta I went to Juhu, and in Juhu there's a very intense struggle to get the land. The landlord was trying to cheat Srila Prabhupada, and then even after we got the land, there was a struggle to get the permission to build the temple. There was a struggle to build the temple. And During that period, it was hard for me to chant with the same focus. I was just too busy. But still, the chanting was my main solace, but I didn't have much solace. And anyway, then I ended up moving to California for health reasons, and for the first time in my life I was not living in a temple. And but the chanting was really good. I chanted in front of the beings, very focused. But then that changed too, because Srila Prabhupada had instructed me to write, and during all the years of traveling and preaching and managing, I never really took it up, so I thought, well, this is Krishna's arrangement. Now I can actually write for Krishna without this instruction to write. And then I found that the writing was easiest in the morning, the early morning. So then my japa got moved to the afternoon. And just imperceptibly, it wasn't always so bad, but it wasn't so good. Sort of imperceptibly, it wasn't the way it was. And then one day, I got a letter on my computer, an article on my computer. You always get so many things. Called "Put an End to Courtesy Japa" by Mahatma Das. I thought, that's an odd title. So I didn't read it. But I don't usually delete things. I guess I mean it. I just kept it. Then I just started getting different messages about japa. I kept meeting people who mentioned the book, the Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name by Satchinandan Swami. And he'd given me a copy when the book first came out with a nice inscription. And I looked at the book, but I hadn't read it that seriously. I kept hearing that. And then His Holiness Narayana Swami came to stay with me. And I knew he was very serious about chanting, japa and kirtan. So I thought, well, this might be an arrangement that I can, focus more on japa. And at that time he was chanting 32 rounds a day. So I started reading the Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name. And then I said, all right, maybe Krishna's trying to tell me something. So I looked up the article, "Put an End to Courtesy Japa." And Mahatma Prabhu was making the point that we shouldn't be chanting just as a formality to complete our rounds, just as a courtesy, but we should really focus. Sort of like someone comes to visit you and you feel that their visit is an intrusion and you really wish they weren't there. But as a courtesy, you're polite and you don't like tell them to leave. You're polite, but within your mind, you're thinking of other things and you're really wishing they weren't there and wishing they would leave as soon as possible. So it's like You know, our japa shouldn't be like that. When we chant, we're actually invoking the presence of Krishna, Radha and Krishna. So it shouldn't be like, you know, we're inviting them, and then within ourselves we're thinking, actually, I wish you weren't here, and I could do the things I really want to do. And as I read more, I came across this word in the list of 10 offenses called pramada. Pramada means inattention. But the literal meaning is madness. So I think, what is pramada? What is madness? Well, madness is that you invite someone, and then when they come, you turn away from them. You invite them, yes, and then you ignore them. Sort of a madness. You invite them again, and then when they come, you ignore them again. You keep yourself busy with other things. Then you invite them again, and it's definitely a sort of madness. And the chanting, the meaning of the chanting, as we've heard from Srila Prabhupada, is, O Krishna, O Radharani, please engage me in your service. O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Mm-hmm. So we're requesting them to engage us in service. Now, if we were going for a job interview, we would definitely want to be on our best behavior so we can get the job. Now, we went for a job interview, and like we sometimes do when we're chanting, we're looking all over the room, looking what needs to be done, moving this from here to there, dusting this, or as someone said, we become very expert at with our left hands. So with our right hand, we're doing our job, and with our left hand, we're with the computer, the remote, the doing something with our left hand. Now, if we went for a job interview and we're like looking all over, doing this, that, our potential employer would not be very impressed with us. He would think we're not very serious about getting this job. But that's what we do when we chant in the temple.
That's a good title for the article, Becoming Left-Handed.
Sorry?
That's a good title for another article, Becoming Left-Handed.
Okay. So then, it so happened that this initiative, spiritual care initiative, wanted to do something for the devotees, and they asked who would be willing to do something and who would want to team up with whom to do what. So Satchinandan Swami and I wanted to do something together, and because of my health I couldn't travel very far. So Purusha Shukta arranged for a japa retreat in Ojai, California, which is very close to Santa Barbara. But then Satchinandan Swami himself couldn't come because he had undergone some surgery and complications, and he just couldn't come. And he thought we'd have to cancel the retreat, but Purusha Shukta didn't want to cancel it. And he was arranged for Rindaswara Prabhu to come. And that particular retreat was only disciples of Srila Prabhupada, God brothers and God sisters. Very, very intimate. Yamuna Devi and Dina Tanya came. And was Rindaswara Prabhu. Bhada Haridas was there to read Kirtan. Ramapada Swami came, Maliki Dasi came. And that was really a very transformative experience. I really had never experienced anything like it before. And I learned so much. Discussing about the holy name. And then when the 64 round day came, as a chance to apply everything that we'd learned over the days leading up to it. And the 64 round day itself was extremely powerful. And at the end, this sacred was a breakthrough, something I'd never experienced before. And then I became a regular participant, supersortive. I might add as well that by serving the servants of the holy name, one also gets the mercy of the holy name. After that, I did have some, you know, significant experiences chanting japa back in Santa Barbara. But when I think back, almost in every case, the experiences came when I was hosting, if you will, accommodating or serving a serious chanter, Narayan Swami, Purusha Shukta Prabhu himself has stayed there for a few days. Yogi Purusha Prabhu has stayed there for a few days, and Yajunya Swami. So that's another part of it. Another part of it, serving the servants of the holy name. And that's also in the Bhagavatam. Sian Mahatsaya Vipra, Vasudeva Katavichi, that by serving great souls, you develop ruchi, taste, or affinity. By serving a person, you develop the qualities of the person that you're serving. So if they have taste, and by serving them, get taste. Or by serving them, get the mercy of the holy name, because the holy name is pleased. One evening, I went to the beach to chant, and it was so nice. It was really nice. I just wanted to chant and chant. It was just relishing. I didn't want to stop. I didn't want to divert myself even for a moment. But before I had left for the beach, Narayan Swami had said that he wanted to speak with me when I got back, and I knew he took rest early, got up early. And he's a very unassuming person, undemanding. Just the way he said that he wanted to speak to me was a little unusual. So I made note of it. I was relishing at the beach, I just didn't want to stop chanting. And then suddenly I felt like I was getting a message from the holy name that Narendra Swami is very dear to me. He's spreading the holy name all over the world. And if you serve him, I will be more pleased than if you stay in chant or now. And whatever you miss from chanting now, I'll make up to you later. So I left the beach and came back and spoke to him. So I think that's also a very important element of service to the holy name, and that is to serve the servants of the holy name. And that's part of the community that we're talking about. But actually, the Hare Krishna movement is for chanting the holy name, and for serving the other devotees. So then the movement itself is really meant to serve the servants of the holy name. So it's a great journey, it's a great adventure. The other day I was mentioning to one of my god brothers that it seemed when I was younger I was more adventurous. And my god brother said, well, when you get older, it's not that easy to be adventurous externally, but we get more adventurous internally.
Mm-hmm.
And this chanting attentively, really spending time with the holy name as an end in and of itself, to associate with Krishna, it's a great adventure. And sometimes things, as such, sometimes when you're chanting, stuff comes up. In the beginning, we may have a sort of linear idea of spiritual progress, that we just start here and there's a straight line and we end up there. But it's not all, it is an adventure. It is an adventure. You're walking along, everything's going fine, and suddenly there's a fork in the road. You don't know which way to go. Anyway, you make a choice and you go in a certain way, and you're walking along, everything's going fine, and then suddenly some wild animals start to attack you. You flee from them, and you keep going some more, everything's going fine, and then suddenly there's a landslide, and getting buried under an avalanche of rocks and stones and dirt, and to get out of that one, going some more, a little further, then the natives come with their bows and arrows. And my journey with Japa. So,
many lives.
Sorry?
Many lives.
Yeah. So that can happen. That can happen. It's an adventure, but it's not always predictable. I mean, adventure means that you have to expect the unexpected. And so sometimes stuff comes up, but that's also part of the process of purification. And it's all good. It's all good. It's like when you're cleaning, and, you know, dust starts to fly. You might think that this, the room is getting dirtier, but the dirt was always there. But in the process of cleaning, it's getting kicked up before it was all just sort of settled. It's part of the process of purification. So it is an adventure. It is an adventure. And we should, welcome whatever mercy the Holy Name gives us, in whatever form the mercy comes. Because it's all for our purification, and it's all meant to make us fit for our eternal service, our eternal relationship with Krishna. And that's the devotee's goal. He wants to serve Krishna. And whatever hardships he encounters along the way, he considers a small price to pay for to reach the final goal of eternal service to Krishna. Hare Krishna.